Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live tonight, May 4th, 2017, live from the Radio Ranch. What a beautiful day. Prettiest day of the year, I would have to say. Just a beautiful day outside. God is so good to us. Warm. Oh, I had my jacket on earlier, but as the day went on, it just warmed right up. And oh, it's still sunshine out there, blue skies, the calves are calving. Oh, it's a beautiful day. We thank the Lord. We thank you for joining us here on this program. Today, the National Day of Prayer. That can't be a bad thing. The National Day of Prayer. So we'll talk a little bit about that tonight, but we'll have the phone lines open up a little bit later, maybe the second half of the program. I think I can get us to that without taking a break. We hope so. We'll pray for that. Let's open up with the word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, you who are worthy, you the Creator, you our Heavenly Father, who knows best, who does right, always and forever, who knows the beginning and the end, who was here before the beginning, Lord, and who will be here after the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the everything. And we thank you, Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be on the radio to fellowship. And Lord, I thank you for those that are tuning in for fellowship and to hear the Word of God read and Lord, to join in with like-minded Christians. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that, that you give us that ability to do so. Father, we do thank you most of all that you made a way. You made a way to bring us back. We were sold for nothing, and, oh Lord, you redeemed us. You made a way for us to be redeemed without money, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. The blood of lambs and goats and turtle doves from the Old Testament all pointed to the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sacrifices then just pointed and prepared the way, prepared the hearts of men to be ready for that ultimate sacrifice, and we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross, for saving a wretch like me, while I was yet a sinner, dying on that cross to save me from my sins and my sicknesses. Oh Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. And thank you for your remnant, for saving your remnant, and for calling us out of that darkness. Lord, here we are. Here am I. Lord, use us, use me as you see fit to further your kingdom, to spread your good news to your people. Lord, I thank you for our pastor that strived and labored for years and years here at the Radio Ranch, Lord, to build up this ministry, to build it on the rock of Jesus Christ, to spread the gospel message, the truth of the word to your people. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for his labors. We thank you that you guided him, that Lord, he trusted in you in all things. We thank you for that, Lord. Our prayer, Father, is that you would guide us, that you would strengthen us through our trials, strengthen us through our tribulations that come, that we may be found worthy, Lord, that we may be found worthy to continue to build upon that foundation that our pastor built and that foundation of Jesus Christ as we continue on with this ministry. And we thank you, Lord. We do our best to please you, not man, but you. Guide and direct us in your path and in your ways. Let us be led by your Holy Spirit, O Lord. We ask you, Holy Spirit, come. You are welcome here. You are welcome here at the Radio Ranch. You are welcome here at our church. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in the remnant's homes and in their hearts, and in our homes and in our hearts and in our families. And we welcome you here, and we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that across the nation, people have taken time today to stop and to pray. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that we live in a country that has a National Day of Prayer. Lord, we have much to be forgiven for, much to be sorrowful for. But Lord, we are thankful. I am thankful that today is a National Day of Prayer. And it's a prayer to you. It's not a prayer to Buddha. It's not a prayer to Allah. It's a prayer, a day of prayer to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is who our prayers go to. We know you hear and answer our prayers, Lord. Guide and direct and lead me tonight, my thoughts and my words, that, Lord, it would encourage your people. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. And amen. And again, thanks for joining us. The program, 7x70, of course, that deals with Matthew 18 and forgiveness, and not gonna go there tonight. Of course, we might get there. You never know, in a roundabout way, but we're not going to start there. I want to start, we'll talk about the National Day of Prayer here in a minute, but I want to start with Branson. I hope that we got phone calls today. It's not too late to register for Branson, but I tell you what, folks, I've got to call the hotel tomorrow, and I've got to book the rooms, and we've got to give them a number. And so if I tell them this many, and then you call me next week, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee of a room. And so we want you to be there. If you are a Christian, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if that's who you pray to, well, then, as I said, we want you there. We'd like you to pray about it. And if you are led to want to go to Branson, if you can get there, we can help you with the rest. Let's leave it at that for those that it applies to. This year's theme is sanctification. We've talked a little bit about it before. It's a big old word, but it really just, it is holiness of life. It's choices. It's making the right choices every day, doing the best that we can. Now, we don't do perfect every day. Well, I doubt we do perfect any day, but we strive. We work towards a holiness of life, of turning away from sin and turning to God, turning away from the ways of the world and turning to God's ways. That's all that sanctification is, in my opinion anyway. We'll talk a little bit about that there, Branson. We hope you can make it. It's June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 2017. It's just a month away, less than a month away. So here we are. If you'd like to attend, you can contact us. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. You can register online right on the homepage, scripturesforamerica.org, if you want to register. And you can click, and that registration will come right to me. There's no charge to attend. We're even providing the food. We're bringing some Radio Ranch beef. So if you want to know how that is, well, you can come and attend, and you can find out. You can find out for yourself. So we encourage you, but we need to know. Time's running out. So let us know if you want to attend. We need a registration, and we hope that you can make it. If you're meant to. If it just doesn't matter to you, and you're thinking, well, maybe I'll go to Branson, maybe I'll go to the lake, maybe I'll stay home, maybe I'll cut the grass, then just do something else. That's all there is to it. If it's not important to you, then don't worry about it. We are gathering. It's a family reunion with the family of Christ, the body of Christ. We are gathering because we want to be there. We look forward to it all year long. And so we hope that you do as well. If you do, let us know. We'll be glad to get you on the list. Well, moving on, today, May 4th, National Day of Prayer. Didn't see much of it on the media. Got a chance to look at the news yesterday. Didn't see anything about it coming up. Had to dig to find it. But National Day of Prayer. And I thought it was interesting. They actually have a website and a task force and all types of stuff. So I was encouraged by that. And I wanted to share a couple things that I saw from that. Because it seemed to apply. There's several times we read through the Old Testament that there's times that when our forefathers were sinning and had been doing that for generations, God would arise a leader, or he would put a thought in the land, a thought in the people, that they would stand out in the rain and the wind and listen to the law read for 4 days straight. Or the remnant would hear the words of the prophet when he would say, put away your foreign wives, put away your foreign ways, and return to God. And some would. Well, National Day of Prayer. And there's actually a law. You know, we have Public Law 97-280 that declares that the Bible is the Word of God. Well, there is also a Public Law 105-225. Now, I don't have it available, but they made reference to it in this National Day of Prayer. And it says this: the President shall issue each year a proclamation designating the first Thursday in May as a National Day of Prayer, on which the people of the United States may turn to God in prayer and meditation at churches, in groups, and as individuals. Now, this is not a mandate requiring you, but it's saying that we may do this. This falls in line with the proclamation for the Day of Thanksgiving, a national day where the people can say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your bountiful blessing." And that's what this National Day of Prayer is. And if you read in 1 Timothy 2, you can flip over there. I didn't have it out, but 1 Timothy 2, went a little too far. First Timothy chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 1. First of all then, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. First of all then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and see, then he tells you the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We are to pray at all times. This is, and to pray for our leaders. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, there's many things that might be up for debate or up for interpretation. That's not one of them. That's not one of them. That is good in the sight of God our Savior to pray for our leaders, to pray for our local leaders, our national leaders. If we're not going to pray for them, who will? Who will? And the theme this year for this National Day of Prayer, and again, I don't know who put this out, but I'm glad they did. But the theme this year is, for your great name's sake, hear us, forgive us, heal us. Oh, and if you've been reading in Psalms this week, in the Bible reading plan, you read that same thing. Well, this comes from Daniel 9, verse 19, which says, O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God. When his people humble themselves and pray and repent and cry out to him and turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven and will heal and will forgive. Isn't that what 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us? If we believe the word, which I do believe it, and if you're tuning in, I'd bet my boots you believe it as well. Well, then we are to do it. We are to do it. To repent and to pray. And this National Day of Prayer, I was encouraged by it. I really was. There were millions today and still are praying. I looked on the website, and you can check each state. Even here in Wyoming, little old 500,000 people, Wyoming, there are National Day of Prayer events, prayers, prayer breakfast this morning. There were prayer luncheons. There's prayer dinners and evening services this evening. There's reading of the Bible. Even here. I was encouraged by it. And I want to read one more quote here from this National Day of Prayer website. It says, at this crucial time for our nation, we can do nothing more important than pray. And it is a spiritual discipline to do that. I've got some notes, maybe I can get to them tonight, about improving your prayer life. What are just a couple of things you can do to improve your prayer life? You know, sometimes we want to maybe improve our heart rate. improve our resting heart rate. We want to do that. So, you know, it should be about 60 to 62, about a beat a minute, a beat a second should be about normal. But if it's a little higher, well, there's things you can do to improve your resting heartbeat. You can exercise more and walk. There may be things you want to do to improve your blood pressure or to improve your cholesterol. Well, you can't just keep doing whatever you're doing if it's not working. If you want to get better, you have to change, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. If you want to be able to run an 8-minute mile, you got to practice. You got to practice. And so I've got a few things I'll get to a little bit later tonight to share with you. Just a couple of simple things to improve your prayer life. And what better day than on the National Day of Prayer to do that? The theme, for your great name's sake, hear us, forgive us, heal us. And we talked about Psalms 54 and or 50 through 53, and then today's reading is 54 through 55. But we talked about that on the prayer meeting last night, and we see the same thing. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. Wash me, cleanse me, I shall be whiter than snow. When we turn to Him, we have that forgiveness, personally and nationally. I encourage you to read Psalms 50 if you haven't read it. Psalms 50, Psalms 51. Read that. Pray to God, Lord, what is it that you want me to get out of Psalms 50 and 51? It was yesterday's Bible reading. And read that. It spoke to me. It did. We are to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to Him. He's not interested anymore in the blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves. No, He wants obedience. It's what He wants. Our president was even involved in the National Day of Prayer today. He signed an executive order that was better than not. How about that? Let me tell you what this was. He signed an executive order aimed at boosting religious freedom by easing the IRS restrictions against political activities by religious organizations. And President Trump declared no one should be censoring sermons. He announced the order, and it fulfilled one of his campaign pledges. He said, while he was running for president, that he would do this, and now that he is president, he's done it. Well, that is a man of his word. Now I understand who he's got on his councils, and he's tied in with these people over here. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this. This is what he said he was going to do, and he did it. So let's just agree on that part. I'm not lifting the man up as a saint. All men are sinners. But let me tell you what he said here. We will not allow people of faith to be targeted, bullied, or silenced again, and we will never stand for religious discrimination. See, that's what has been happening in this country. Oh, the Buddhists, they can do anything and everything they want. God knows the Muslims in this country can get away with murder. And the Christian stands on the sidewalk in front of across the street from a murder mill called an abortion facility and holds a sign that says, God loves you, and that person is thrown in jail. See, that's called religious persecution. If you listened to Hope is Alive last night, you heard a retired doctor give testimony. And this doctor told of how she went to school and years and years of school and then opened her own office. And as time went on, she was not a Christian, as time went on, she collected all these books, and it was everything on the occult and on evil and on hypnotism and just anything and every philosophy and all this crap. Anything and everything, because see, anything and everything is acceptable in the world and in the world society except Christianity, except true Christianity, except the name Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that ever matters. And so, I like hearing from a president that he says, we will not stand for religious discrimination. And yeah, I can read between the lines, and I hope you can too, that it's Christianity that has been discriminated against. No, we haven't had churches bombed and mass killings like in Turkey and in Syria and places like that, because the people here, the Christians here, still have their guns. And they won't stand for it. So don't give up your guns. That's a different story, but it ties right into it, I think. And just a little bit of background on this what President Trump signed today. The ban on political speech from the pulpit, okay? Political speech from the pulpit has effectively been banned until now. And it is rooted in an amendment introduced in 1954 by Democratic Senator Lyndon Johnson, who eventually became the president. And it gave the IRS authority to punish tax-exempt charitable organizations and churches for making political endorsements or getting involved in political campaigns. And see, this executive order signed today changed that. You might remember the fight that Pastor Peters and the La Porte Church of Christ had when he stood up when the homosexuals were coming in to the Fort Collins council and wanting to have special rights. And this has been 30 years ago now, 25 years ago, and wanted to have special rights. And Pastor Peters had stood up and said, no, it's a sin. The Bible talks against it. This country is based, it was founded on the Bible and Bible principles. And this is against that. It's wrong. It's filth. They do not get extra rights over normal people. And he took out an ad in the paper. And he said, hey, we're having a meeting. And he quoted scripture in the ad in the paper. Well, it got defeated. And then the city and the state came against him and said, well, pastor, you have to sign up as a political action committee and give us a list of everybody in your organization. Anybody that's ever donated a dime to your organization, we need to have their name, address, their social security number, their everything, date of birth, blah, blah, blah. And Pastor Peters stood there and he put his tongue on the top of his mouth and he said, no. And he stood by that. Because that's religious persecution. And we must obey God rather than man. And anyway, I didn't want to spend all evening on this, but I'm glad to see this. I'm glad to see this. Vice President Pence said of the National Day of Prayer, said, this is a time to reaffirm the vital role people of faith, meaning Christians. He's not asking Muslims to pray to Allah, I can tell you that. He's not asking the Japanese to pray to Shinto or whoever they pray to. But this is the politically correct way that to keep from getting crucified in the press, you have to talk. Understand that. I understand it. I hope you do too. It's time to reaffirm the vital role people of faith play in American society and praise the president for making the day in such a public manner. The president did. He was involved in this today. You think any of the news stories covered it? I didn't see any of it. I didn't see or hear any of it. But I'm glad he did. It's time to reaffirm, this is Vice President Pence quote today, it's time to reaffirm the vital role people of faith play in American society. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to give you a scripture verse here in a little bit that ties in with that. National Day of Prayer, people praying all over, on in state capitals and all over. There's a thing, I didn't know about it, but Pastor Cox told us about it last night. It's called Prayer Flight. And it is it is a commitment that volunteer pilots make to fly over state capitals at noon today for the 50 Capitals prayer flight. And it's unique. Let's see. Concerted effort of pilots lifting up our nation in prayer during our National Day of Prayer. And I thought that was really interesting that Pastor Cox mentioned it tonight. And then we got an email from him today, and he said, I had the honor today with my spirit-filled friend Mike of flying in his single-engine aerobatic decathlon, circling our state capitol a half a dozen times, praying and declaring that Jesus is Lord over Oklahoma. Hallelujah. breaking any curses and assignments, and rebuking associated spirits, declaring blessings and prosperity in the name of Jesus. And it, again, it's part of that prayer flight. And it was done over all 50 state capitals today at noon. How about that? Hallelujah. I didn't know about that, but when I heard about it, I was encouraged. I prayed today, not at noon. It was about 12:30. I did say a quick prayer. My alarm on my phone goes off at noon, and I said a quick prayer then. And about 12:30, I was working on some stuff, and I found myself on my knees working on a drag out in the field. And I thought, you know, I'm here. Why not pray? And I did. I prayed for our nation. And I prayed for our leaders, and I prayed for our remnant and our families, and I prayed that his people all across the land would do that. It's not too late. It's not too late to pray. It never is. It never is. I had a verse here, if I can find it, on prayer. There's all kind of prayers. Let me bump. I want to talk about some of that flooding down in Arkansas and Missouri. That's been just horrible. Talked to a couple of our congregation members down in Arkansas, and they're high and dry and good. They're high and dry and safe. Got a text back from a brother in Russellville, and he said, we've had heavy rain, but no severe damage in Russellville, and we're praying for those affected by the rain. And so, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are worthy to be praised, and we thank you. We thank you for that. Regarding prayer, and I wanted to, maybe I didn't print it out. Well, there are many different ways to pray, many different prayers. You know, it seems like every group has a prayer. I've got a couple of sons that are EMTs, and I saw this. I had it on the computer. It's an EMT prayer. We have a National Day of Prayer. I have an EMT prayer. I know that there's a fireman prayer, policeman's prayer, prayer for Marines, all of them. But here's an EMT prayer. And let me read it to you. It's, God, grant me the ability to give emergency care with skillful hands, knowledgeable mind, and tender loving care. Help me deal with everything when lives are on the line, to see the worst, administer aid, and ease the worried mind. So help me as I go today, accept what fate may be. Touch these hands, use this mind, help this EMT. In Christ's name, amen. I've got some EMTs. I'm printing this out and giving them to them, to our EMTs at our local volunteer fire department. And people need prayer. It used to be a much bigger part of our life. It really did. We'll open up the phone lines. I pulled this out of the archives. I heard it years ago. Pastor had us dig it up. And when we're talking about prayer, it's from the old Texas Ranger TV show. And it was back when you could have these things, TV or radio show, I'm not sure. But it's only a couple minutes long. It's the Texas Ranger prayer. See, prayer is a part of our life. It is part of what we are to do. We are to pray in authority. Have you heard that before? We heard that from our pastor. Our pastor taught us that. We're still hearing that. We're still admonishing that. Be back right after this.
And now, here again is the star of our show, Joel McRae.
One of the pleasures afforded us here in this show is the large number of letters we receive asking for special information about the Texas Rangers. This week we received one, an especially interesting letter, in which the writer said she had heard of an official Ranger's prayer and inquired if such a prayer actually existed. It does. The prayer was written by Captain Pierre Bernard Hill, chaplain of the Texas Rangers, and I should like you to hear it. O God, whose end is justice, whose strength is all our stay, be near and bless my mission as I go forth today. Let wisdom guide my actions, let courage fill my heart, and help me, Lord, in every hour to do a ranger's part. Protect when danger threatens, sustain when trails are rough, Help me to keep my standard high and smile at each rebuff. When night comes down upon me, I pray thee, Lord, be nigh, whether on lonely scout or camped under Texas sky. Keep me, O God, in life, and when my days shall end, forgive my sins and take me in, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
For Jesus' sake. Amen. How about that? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. See, that kind of stuff folks used to be out on the airwaves. When children were praying in school two generations ago. Only two generations ago. Maybe two and a half now. It's been about, 1965. It's been about 52 years that prayer was taken out of school. How can you improve your prayer life? How can you improve your prayer life? You know, we talked about it earlier. If you want to improve your heart rate or your blood pressure or your cholesterol, you have to do certain things. You have to eat a certain way. You have to exercise. You have to abstain from certain things. It's really no different for your prayer life. And prayer is an essential part of the Christian life. And many times, and again, this is not, these couple points is not to make you feel guilty about not praying maybe as much as you think you should. It's not that at all. That's not what God is about. God doesn't sit up there and say, okay, I need 15 minutes of prayer today, and you only did 12, so you failed. That's not the way things are. That's not the way things go. It's really more about being in tune with the Holy Spirit. We get that from reading His Word and seeing how those in the Bible prayed, how they looked to God, how they cried out to God, how they honored God. And we just try to incorporate that into our lives. If you want a more meaningful prayer life, if you want to draw nearer to God without having a Red Sea predicament where you have to just cry out with everything you have to God, let me tell you, it's better to grow closer to God in the good times and to make it a good habit and to practice these things when times are good, because that helps you get through when times are bad. We have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913, if you want to give a call. But being that it's National Day of Prayer, how can we improve our prayer life? How can we do that? Four little things. One, spend 10 minutes praising God. Praising God. Now, this is the one with a time, okay? Because we'll talk about not so much focusing on the time, but on the prayer itself. Not so much the time and not looking at your clock or setting a timer and, I've got to pray for 10 minutes. But take 10 minutes to praise God. Praise Him for the sunshine. Praise Him for the beauty of the color He gives us. Praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for what He does. Praise Him for your wife or your husband. Praise Him for your children. Praise Him for your parents. Praise Him for the home you grew up in or the home you didn't grow up in. Praise Him for the word He gives us. Praise Him for His Son. Praise Him that He hangs that North Star out there, and it has always been where it is right now. And it's always there. And the Big Dipper rotates around it in the seasons every year the same way. Praise Him for that. Praise Him for bringing it's springtime. Praise Him that we have spring, that the seasons come in order. Praise Him that your house didn't get washed away in Arkansas or in Missouri. Praise Him that your family didn't get washed into a ravine and die. There's so much we can praise Him for. Spend 10 minutes to focus on God and just praise Him. Not ask Him for anything, just praise Him. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise Him. He is worthy of praise. He is. And He inhabits the praise of His people. He does. He does. You can look at it. I Psalms 135. I didn't turn over there. I had it in my notes, but I didn't turn my Bible over there. But you can look at Psalms 135 is a good a praise chapter. It is. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Take 10 minutes. And if you can't do it every day, just start. Just start where you can. We talked about Daniel 9 earlier. Look in Daniel 9, Daniel's prayer. Daniel was in captivity. Daniel worked for the man, for the man's man. I mean, he worked for the foreign government. Daniel was he was in captivity in a foreign land. And he prayed. He praised. He praised. And because he praised God when he could, regardless of what come what may, well, God delivered him. God delivered him. And we read about him now, thousands of years later. Praise God. Take 10 minutes a day. Set a timer. If you can only do five, do five. But if you start, and you just have to take yourself away from the world, but praise God. Take some time to praise God. You know, also a thing to do, we've kind of gotten away from it, but pray it at your meals. Make it a habit. Make it a habit. And talk with your children about that. We don't always have the opportunity to go in our prayer closet and sit down and turn the phone off and the text and the radio and the TV and all the children are quiet and everything's good. Okay, now I have time to pray. It's great when we can do that, but use a daily occasion like a meal to get into the habit of praying. And it doesn't matter where you're at. Everybody eats. That's another thing to praise God for. Thank you, Lord. You ever watch Duck Dynasty? You ever watch Duck Dynasty? One of the things I like about that show is at the end of it, they pray. And Mr. Phil will pray, and it might be, Lord, thank you for this day. And thank you that you have our family together. Amen. And God hears those prayers. He hears those prayers, and it gets you in the habit. So when you pray before your meals at home in front of your children, you know it's encouraging when your 20-something-year-old son is home and he's fixing to eat and he's over at the table by himself because the rest of the family's doing something else, and you glance over there and he's praying before he eats. He's not doing it to show me. He's not doing it so that we see what he's doing it. He's praying because it's a good habit. And it improves your prayer life when you do it. Doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer. When praying for meals, you don't have to thank God for everything from Genesis to Revelation. And no, Lord, thank you for this food. I joke with my children sometimes. My dad growing up. I remember me growing up, and sometimes dad would come in and we're ready to eat or something, and it might be thank the good Lord for dinner, amen. And we kind of chuckled at it then, but as years have gone on, there's times I've prayed that. We try not to be flippant. We are to be sincere, but it's a way to improve your prayer life. Pray at mealtime. And if you're in a restaurant, you don't have to stand up and bellow out where the cook in the back room hears you. But you can pray. You can pray silently if you want to. That's not a problem. You can pray out loud. I do encourage you to do that publicly. To do that publicly. Not so that you will be seen by men, but so that men will see what you're doing in Christ. How about that? How about that? And it is so he gets the glory. And third, focus less on the time. Again, don't try to set a time. Don't think that, well, I've got to pray 15 minutes here. But on the act, pray. Pray. There's many that have said, we read about in history, prayed hours and hours a day. I don't do that. I don't do that. But we are to pray. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are told to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed and we dream of prayers, but we are to pray without ceasing. Yeah, it's not the time, but we are always to be of the Spirit and ready to pray and being aware of what's going on. That's another thing to do is don't be hesitant to pray on the spot. If the thought comes to you, pray. If it's for somebody, if it's for something, if it's for your children. You know, our brother John gave a great testimony. He a couple of his children were out in the evening. They were heading home, and he just got an urge to pray. Lord, protect them and pray. He prayed the full armor on them. He prayed, just got an urge. And 15 minutes later, the state trooper calls, and they flipped his truck, and they're calling the ambulance and everything else. The children were fine. John prayed. When that comes upon you, that's part of being in tune. That's part of trying to spend as much time in the Word and in prayer with God as we do with everything else, between the radio and the computer and TV and cable and channel this and Snapchat. And there's more and more to take us away from God and to get us out of tune. That's another thing I was encouraged of by this National Day of Prayer. Let the world go on. Let's take a minute and pray. And pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 it says pray without ceasing. And so what are we to do? We're to pray. Pray frequently. It should be a natural part of your life, just like eating. Eating, we don't have to think about eating. We're going to eat. The old saying is we don't eat because we're hungry. We eat to keep from getting hungry. Well, let's don't pray because we need all the time. Let's pray so we don't have to need. Let's pray and thank God for the blessings He's already given us. So pray frequently and never give up. Never give up. You read Luke 18. It talks about that, never giving up on prayer. And so we pray and we don't give up on praying. We pray believing. We pray believing. Well, many times the Bible talks about praying for wisdom, and we should do that. That is one of the things we should pray for. So I encourage you, pray for wisdom. And it can be as simple as, Lord, give me wisdom. We have not because we ask not. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me patience, Lord. Give me your grace. If I fail, if I fall into temptation, Lord, forgive me. Give me your grace. But Lord, give me wisdom to give me discernment. Lord, I pray for discernment. And then the last thing kind of ties in. Again, we said it earlier. Pray on the spot. If you're talking with a friend and something comes up, don't hesitate to just say, well, let's pray. Let's pray about it. Let's pray. Can I pray for you? Let me pray for you. Lord, take care of this. Lord, let us give it to you. We can do that. If we do that, it's not that we have to be this big prayer warrior and have the years and years of prayer experience and have other people tell us what a good prayer we are to be able to pray for someone when we're one-on-one. And if someone asks to pray, for you to pray for them right then and there. I'm not real good about scheduling. I can say, well, I'll take care of that tomorrow, or I'll take care of that on Friday morning or something like that, and something always comes up. It's best to do it then, to do it then. And so if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if you get a thought in your mind and you pray about it, it's probably a good thought. It's probably a thought that is your thought or God's thought. I don't think the devil's going to give you a thought that you're going to pray about, unless it's a thought of a perish the thought, abandon the thought. I don't want that anymore, and I'm giving it that thought to you, Lord. Take it, perish it from perish. I don't want it anymore. But if you're led to pray, it's probably a good thing. It's probably from God. And so each and every one of us, we're not all given the same things to pray about or to pray for. But when you're led to pray, pray. Pray. I do want you to pray for our friends in the Midwest. If you've seen any of the news, they've had a few things on it. West Plains has pretty much been flooded. Saw a thing here. Missouri State University students had to be rescued from their roof on Saturday night. 50 to 60 living in Red Cross shelters. And this is finals week. Here's the end of it's the last week or two of school. Emergency management director in West Plains had about 70 water rescues, and a third of the people in the flooded areas are still trapped by floodwaters. And so what a mess it is. Got a quote here from Kent Edge, West Plains emergency director, says, "I don't know how, but we did not have one single death and nothing over a minor scratch for injuries," said Kent Edge, West Plains emergency director. "The good Lord was watching out for us." That quote made KY3 News. How about that? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for saving the people in West Plains. For saving the people in West Plains. Arkansas saw a news report today. A house crushes into a bridge because it's blowing down the river. It's been washed off the banks. Major flooding on the Missouri River in eastern Missouri and the Mississippi River in Missouri and Illinois. Floodgates got pictures of levees busted, water everywhere. Told you we got an email from Russellville that they were spared, they were protected. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, let's pray. I've prayed this National Day of Prayer. I hope you have. And we'll close out with prayer. I guess we've got a few minutes left here, and I think time to do it. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Comfort the families that have lost children and wives and husbands and grandparents and family in these storms in the Midwest, Lord. We pray for your comfort to be upon them. Lord, our heart goes out to them. They were loved ones that people went to school with and salt of the earth people, Lord, people that worked beside each other, family, Lord. We know that that's life, and that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. But Lord, we thank you. Your way is right. You work all things for good for those that love you. We pray the families of these lost ones, Lord, love you. And that their love will grow stronger for you, and they will grow closer to you in the coming days, weeks, months, years. Lord, we thank you for the sparing, Lord, for those in Russellville and those in West Plains and those, Lord, where levees have broken, where bridges are washed out and towns are washed away, Lord, gone. Just by water, by rain, by water, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your infinite mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for when children, we saw the video, O Father, and the world saw it, when children are brought out of that submerged vehicle, limp and dead, not breathing. And we hear, Lord Jesus, let them breathe. Lord Jesus, let them breathe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Father, we pray for our leaders. I pray for our city commissioners, Lord, our county commissioners. I pray for our state leaders, Lord, our governor and his staff. And I pray for our president and his vice president and their staff. And I pray that you would be with them, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to them and that they would hear you, Lord. And they would see your word. And Lord, let there be a 3-day across the nation if you desire, Lord. I desire it. Across the nation, a Damascus Road experience of blinding light. And your voice from heaven saying, why are you persecuting me? Turn to Jesus. and that the people, Lord, will see that, that our leaders will see that and do that. That, Lord, we will again be a nation whose God is the Lord Jesus Christ, and who has your word and your law, your perfect law, your perfect word, your perfect law that you did not come to abolish but came to fulfill. That, Lord, we have that perfect law is the law of the land. And that, Lord, we love our neighbor and we love you with all our heart, mind, and soul. That is our desire, Lord. You tell us to bring our petitions to you. Lord, we do it in humility, in humbleness, Lord, but also in boldness, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Not ashamed to say that we love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray to Him at mealtime, and we pray to Him in times of trouble, and we praise Him, you, in the good times and the bad. And we believe your word, Lord. We believe your word, Romans 8:28, that we know. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt. We know from now till eternity. We know that you work all things for good for those that love you. Lord, restore that love in your people. Restore that love for their God, their Father, in this nation. For you. Father, protect this nation. We are in a time of wars and rumors of wars. Lord, we know it's just the birth pangs. But Lord, protect us. Protect us, Lord. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out our transgressions. Forgive us our sins. They are many before you. We thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, be glorified so that the Father in heaven is glorified. And we pray all this, Lord, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, folks. We'll be right back.